Now, we are going to move on to our friends in the United States of America. And it's been a week of a lot of noise and shouting and crossness and all of that, which in many ways would indicate what a very clever person Mr. Trump is. But let's first of all go to one of his supporters. She's been on the programme before. Obviously, I'm talking in the context of the crime-infested places from which they came and to go back home. But Alice Butler Short, an Irish woman, founder and president of Virginia Women for Trump, joins me now. Now, the world has been convulsed about these statements and what happened at the big meeting and send her back. What's your reaction to all of that?
My reaction is that it is absolutely ridiculous. But at the outset, let me say I do not speak on behalf of President Trump. I speak on behalf of thousands and thousands of women in Virginia and across the United States who are like-minded and are fully supportive of the president. So we all feel that it is absolutely ridiculous, taken out of context. Is there anyone who has children, grown children, who didn't at one time or another say to them, well, you know, if you're not happy here, if you don't like it here, go somewhere else. It was not a racist comment. There isn't a racist bone in this man's body. He was speaking more to the content of their character.
Yeah. Do you think it was coincidence that they were brown skinned, shall we say?
I think so. Actually, what I say is they are the racists. They are the racists. They are the ones who are causing division. They are the ones who are making everything racist. And the left is desperate to smear Republicans and to smear this president and to destroy him and bring him down because they are absolutely deathly afraid of what's going to happen in 2020 when we all know he is going to be reelected with a landslide.
Well, I beg your pardon. I know there's a slight delay in the line. I find it compelling to listen to when you say there isn't a racist bone in his body, given what has happened over and over. And, you know, and what happened in Virginia, was it? No, it wasn't Virginia, it was North Carolina. What happened last week. I mean, looking at that meeting last week with everybody shouting, send her back. Did that not send shiver down your spine?
Let me explain that to you. Okay, this is a rally where people get, you know, very excited. And this was not President Trump who started saying send her back. This is just like when they used to say about Hillary, lock her up and, you know, lock her up.
So he creates the environment and the encouragement for that.
Absolutely not. We were all so outraged at the conduct of these three women who somehow have gotten into our Congress. We are appalled at how anti-American they are. You know, right now, our flag is a racist issue. These are the people who support Antifa, who would stomp on our flag and set it afire. Defending the flag is racist in their left-wing world. And I know that the people of Ireland respect and honour their flag.
Yeah, you'll find a lot of people in Ireland that will criticise Irish conditions very much. Fortunately, I don't know why it is. I mean, you're an immigrant. The whole of America is founded on emigration. And these people, well, three or four were born in the United States. And he stood there with a look of complacency and complicitness on his face and did not stop them.
I don't blame him one little bit. As I said, I was trying to tell you about defending the flag is racist in this left-wing world. And I want to remind you that the Irishmen, Ireland respects and honours its flag. And how do I know? Because I still recall the first sentence of the Declaration of Irish Independence, which says, Irish men and Irish women, in the name of God and of the dead generations from which she receives her old tradition of nationhood, Ireland through us summons her children to her flag and strikes for her freedom. So the respect for the flag is inculcated in every Irish person, as it is in every American who loves our country. And so that's
Can I just ask you a question? If you love your country, and if you... Yes. The flag really carries more symbolism in the States, I think, to what it does here. But leaving that aside, do you think...
Flag.
They certainly did. But well, no, they died for the country and the people of Ireland. But... do you think that loyalty to your country and or your flag means that you button your lip on criticism if things are being handled wrong, if there isn't access to, say, healthcare for people, if there is poverty, all of those areas, if there are racism issues in many of the big cities, which there appear to be, what do? Keep silent?
He doesn't keep silent. This president has achieved more for our country in the 2 years he's been in office than any other president. And that's what we should be focusing on. The booming economy, almost 4 million jobs created since his election. More Americans are now employed than ever recorded before in our history. More than 400,000 manufacturing jobs created since his election. And the manufacturing jobs are growing at the fastest rate in more than 3 decades. The lowest unemployment ever for citizens of all ethnic backgrounds. That's what he works on helping every citizen. And he is oblivious to race or color, as most American people are. And the dividers are on the left. And you will see in this coming election that it will become an issue. Patriotism versus racism.
Well,
and we will see who the real patriots are and who the real racists are.
Can I ask a question? I sometimes observe Donald Trump, and he has a particular way that can take you by surprise, but it strikes me he's rather brilliant at making statements that gets the media riled up, which is very good coverage for him, and avoids all the issues he doesn't want to address, like what is happening in Iran, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening when children are separated from their parents on the border. If you can get people to rush off and talk about Centre Home and the squad and the flag, you've diverted all attention.
No, I am very sorry to disagree with you, Marion, because it's the other way around. This is what we would like to be talking about. We would like to be talking about Iran. We would like to be talking about the border. We would like to be talking about the economy. But it's the other side who diverted into this issue of racism, which does not exist in our country. Maybe on a small level, and as it probably exists on a very small level in Ireland too, that's human nature all over the world. But this president is not a racist.
Okay,
and
May I cut across you there? Donald Donovan, you live in the States, mainly in Washington. There is a bewilderment on this side of the argument, I suppose, at how these things can happen. Meeting the other day, I think, resonated in so many people's heads with what happened in history.
Yes. I think that there's a lot of, you know, fairly strong statements that have been said on all parts of this question during the week. And I think there's a sort of elements of truth in everything. Let me give you my take on it. I think there is a significant concern among not just the hard right Trump supporters, but going a bit into the centre, about issues to do with immigration broadly defined. By that I mean not just, you know, the 120,000 people who cross illegally every month from Mexico, but more fundamental
concerns.
The
New York Times said 70, but anyway...
Whatever, one month it was that. It seems to be a large number for a lot of people. I don't know. But issues to do with, you know, is the nature of the country changing from being a predominantly white country to other things, people feeling left out, people feeling that special treatment has been given to minorities. Now... And that's there. And the observation about Trump being a racist or not, I mean, it has been a coincidence, some would say, that most of the criticisms that he has launched in his political campaign have actually been against people who are not white. I mean, this is a fact, you know, football players, others, Muslims, the Hispanics, the Mexicans, and so on. And I think that, with great respect to what your speaker is saying in Virginia, it is extremely difficult for people not to conclude that implicitly or explicitly, consciously or unconsciously, he is feeding this general concern about America's changing demography, changing culture, invasions by all kinds of people, and so on. And he's doing this deliberately because this is where he will get significant support. And it's not just Marion, the hard right Trump supporters. I know a fair few people who are genuinely concerned about, say, the immigration issue. The Democrats have not done well on immigration. They've failed to come up, I think, with a sort of a credible policy to, you know, address what's happening. But the other thing I would say, and it's said very well in one of the articles, I forget which one, is that this Trump wants to run against this sort of left-wing minority in the Democratic Party. And the more the media pay attention to them and his attacks on them, the more he's going to succeed. He wants to paint the Democratic secret agenda as pushing it out to the more extreme points. And my last observation is that I think Pelosi is in a very difficult situation because she is a moderate. Her objective is to win the White House. The squad, the four women, have no interest in winning, you know, the White House. They want to create a fairly, you know, long-term movement. And the agenda that
What do you mean long-term movement? I mean, they want the Democrats to win the White House.
Develop a more radical, and it is pretty radical, some of the things they've said, open borders, you know, a universal health care, concentration camps on the border. I mean, this is fairly, believe you me, this is pretty radical by American standards, you know. But the more they say about that, the more Pelosi says, oh, but, you know, but look, this is going to lose us votes. So far, she's been unable to control this group. Trump knows it. And Trump is exploiting it to the hilt. And he's a very clever, opportunistic politician.
Jennifer?
Is he a racist? I don't know. It depends on the word. But he's certainly taking advantage of racist tendencies, which actually exist in quite a number of countries. You know, we know this.
Over sadly, the years. Yeah. Jennifer?
Yeah, and what Earl said, I agree with all of your points. Just to count some of the points, and I say, as I said, with all respect to the caller, the comparison made of saying, if you say this to a child, if you don't like this, you can go home. That's the president of the United States, a president who sits on the UN Security Council, one of five, and this is a president who is running again for another term. This is not saying, it's not locker room talk again. It's not a comparison we cannot make. The second point that was noted was people get excited at rallies. Yes, they do, but they don't get racist. The third point.
Well, they have done.
They that have done, but excited.
They have.
Oh, yeah. Precisely. But what was said by
Alice.
What was yeah, yeah. Alice,
Alice? Sorry, Alice. Why do you say that wasn't racist?
It was speaking to the individuals and what they stand for. Now, if you want to talk about one of the squad, I'm quoting her, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. She said, we don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be a brown voice. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. We don't need Muslims that don't want to be a Muslim voice. We don't need queers that don't want to be a queer voice. Unquote. That is racism.
Yeah, this is true. This is definitely what she said, you know.
Yes.
Like it or not. Yes.
And Obama started the racial divide. And this is vintage.
How did Obama start the racial divide?
Rules for radicals.
How did Obama start?
Sorry?
Why would you say it was Obama started the racial divide?
Because every word out of his mouth was anti-American. And he brought attention to it. He was always it was always about the disadvantage to people of another color. This could be my son.
But if it's true,
if it were true, then that would be, that we wouldn't be talking like this. It is not true. That's why we are defending it. But America is the greatest country in the world. Anyone can come in there and assimilate.
Not so.
And become
they can be come in and they can
breed.
Be put in cages.
Mm. Oh, excuse me. Let's talk about the cages. Those cages,
sorry.
If you call them cages, were built by Obama, not President Trump. And there were rooms with...
Well, President Trump has the power to remove them. President Trump has the executive order if he wants to... And we saw Mike Pence walk through the and I will say concentration camps, walk through them.
They are
and
not concentration camps.
And you
really
are fully in your right. You are fully
How
in your right to not call them concentration
that
camps.
About our country or our president.
You are
they
fully
are not concentration camps.
Well,
we have 150,000 people a month showing up at our border. It is like an invasion. What would
an
you
invasion,
do if
see,
you
these...
thousands of boats coming to Ireland and unloading them at the dock? What would
we
people?
Saw the.
They are being, they
we
are
saw
being
how immigration. Featured in the Brexit, and we saw, you know, not always very welcoming here to in the Fergal, you've been coming in.
Yeah, so I suppose the article that Dolan was referring to is in the Sunday Independent. Trump wants the squad to be the face of his opposition, and I think that is actually a very well written article by Nick Allen. But there's another article in the Mail on Sunday by Caroline Graham, who was interviewing in Alabama. Basically, Trump's not racist, he's just saying what a lot of us are thinking. Now, Alabama, as we know, was the hotbed of the civil rights movement, and Rosa Parks started there, and Martin Luther King. So, I mean, Alabama would have a very racist... Well, whatever, notwithstanding, it has a very racist tradition. So, I suppose Alice is saying what this article is saying, is that this basically... That people who support Trump believe what he's saying, and this reflects their view. Now, it's a view that's become increasingly polarised. Now, obviously, you can make it even more polarised by making your Democratic opponents to be the squad as opposed to moderate Democrats or the type of Democrat that might put up comprehensive campaign fight.
Where are the moderate Democrats? Where are they? Why are they not stepping forward and calling these people to task? Why is Nancy Pelosi afraid of them?
Nancy Pelosi has been accused of being a racist by one of them. I mean, the difficulty is the Democrats don't have a standout candidate, whereas the Republicans have a candidate, whether he's standout or not is debatable. But he is a candidate. He's the
very
incumbent. He's the incumbent president, so he's at a significant advantage, and he is using the machinery of the state to make his views known to everybody.
Don't they all?
For the past 2 years, the greatest economy that we've had since Ronald Reagan.
But can I just ask you a question that's come in on the text? Which I was thinking about last night, and I take it you really disapprove of the criticisms of the United States of America, and clearly the president has said so. You're always criticising this country. If you don't like it, why don't you leave? But whatever happened to the concept of free speech in the United States, which was so important?
Oh, yes, that's a very interesting question. The concept of free speech doesn't exist anymore except for the left. They can say whatever they like. And what he was saying to these people, not as if you don't like it or if you're always criticizing, if you hate this country, as that is what they portray, hatred of our country, hatred of everything about it. And I lived in Somalia when Ilhan Omar was growing up, and that woman should be kissing the ground and thanking God that she's in our great country. Look where
without
she has
without a
come.
Doubt,
she is now
just
a
like
woman.
Trump's own antecedents were immigrants, and you clearly are an immigrant. And I think, are they
his
saying
wife.
30
his
to 40? And his wife is an immigrant. They are welcome in the country, and that was what the U.S. was wonderful for.
And it's still wonderful for. We want immigrants first who are legal, and immigrants who assimilate, and immigrants who become patriotic and love our country. We don't need people who absolutely hate our country, and these people do. Now, they have every right to stay in the country.
They were elected.
They have every right to...
They were elected.
Yes, and they have... Yes, and hopefully they won't be re-elected, and they have every right to voice their opinions, but they do not have the right to get up there. One of those women, on the day she was sworn in, you know what her words were? First, she put a Palestinian flag up in her office, and then her words were, impeach the M...F... Disgraceful. Those women are a disgrace to themselves and a disgrace to our country.
Okay, let me go to you and possibly leave it there.
I just wanted to say a little thing about immigration. I mean, again, extreme words on all sides we hear. But, you know, there is a centre, again, to stress the point, that is not happy about the immigration situation. And
let me
give you an example.
Well, we saw it in Brexit. You know
the case of the Irish person who is about to be deported because he's been illegal there and so on. Now, you know, one can have personal sympathy for him. But there was a report in the Irish Times, you know, the Irish Times abroad, where they interview people. And they interviewed eight Irish people who've come to America legally and have, you know, got their green card, their job, and so on, citizenship.
Yeah.
And to a man, now there were only men, I don't think there's a woman, they all actually said, we do not support giving any amnesty or, pardon or whatever. This, we must follow the laws in this country. We came here, we did all we had that was necessary, and we're completely opposed to this person getting special treatment. Now, you know, I'm only reporting that because that's not out of sync with what I call this sort of middle, not hardcore Trump people, but who are just very worried about all of these people coming
in. Well, you know, there is a lot of international criticism, certainly about what's happening on the Mexican border, but pretty well every country in the world and or continent in the world want to protect their borders.
Exactly. And so this is historically the us against them narrative. And I... again, completely agree with your point regarding that every country, and this is an objective opinion, not my personal opinion, of course needs, I see it as a personal opinion, of course needs a concrete strategy for immigration regarding borders. This is a historical nation state issue. However, there is international law, refugee law, and there is asylum seeker law that protects every single citizen of this world. And that you can still enter the United States or apply for asylum legally without being subjected to what the people are being subjected to who are currently being held in the camps within the United States.
Wait a minute. On the asylum law, if you are seeking asylum, you have to seek it in the first country that you set foot in.
That's right.
Not cross several other countries to our border.
Okay.
Listen, I'm going to have to have reason for seeking asylum, which these people do not.
Okay, Alice, can I just cut across you because my clock is beating me here as we speak. Are you still teaching Irish dancing?
I keep my foot in, but right now I'm devoting everything I can to helping our president make America great again.
There you go. Listen, thank you very, very much indeed for talking to us. That was Alice Butler-Short, founder and president of Virginia Women for Trump, and we'll take a break.